So simple.
It's like learning a language.
Got to keep at it, even when you don't feel like it.
Well, if you don't feel like it, you don't feel like it. There's conditions for that too.
Yeah.
Seeing visible object and the moment of paying attention to the details different from visible object, your parting gift.
Because it seems like impossible at all to understand this, but actually since it's true, there can be the development of understanding just visible object as it is. Because without thinking, just happen to see, no thinking yet, no what it is, no story about what is there.
In a sense, it's too simple because people will say, oh, how can just listening to Dhamma be a condition for the arising of understanding, because they don't see the connection.
Yeah. I think it's got just to do with our whole life. We go through school and we go through university and we've got to do this and we've got to do that. So it feels like we ought to be doing
opposite.
opposite.
Quite opposite.
Yeah.
People always mentioning about phantom limbs. So after limbs have been amputated and one still has the sensation or feeling in the leg that's long gone, and people are often bringing it up. Because of sanya, we think of different parts of the body, and I will give an example of this. Someone who had a leg being amputated still has a feeling that he has that leg. It's sanya remembrance which conditions him to think that he still has that leg, although it's been amputated. There's remembrance of all the rupas of that leg. In the reality, the rupa which appears now falls away immediately, and when there are the appropriate conditions, it's replaced by another rupa which arises and falls away again. However, people think because of sanya of their whole body from head to toes, just as in the case of the person who has had his leg amputated but still has a feeling that he has that leg. Only when the wrong remembrance of self, utter sanya, because of what one is used to thinking that the whole body exists, has been eradicated, can one really understand that all dharmas are anatta, not self. So it's interesting. There could be, even if someone has right view, when the leg is amputated, there can still be the experience of the still sanya, the remembrance of the sensations.
Also the body from head to toe, to sitting and touching.
There's only so many things, and like with the body, there's only hardness or warmth.
And only when it appears.
There's not too much there, but there's a whole creation of an idea of the body.
But it seems that it appears when it doesn't appear, so the sensation is not appearing, but one thinks at that moment it really is appearing, like in a dream, we think it's appearing.
And then we begin to understand what is meant by no self, because only a reality is appearing. One at a time, whereas the rest, rupa, arises and falls away all the time. The one of which awareness not aware has gone completely.
And I think it's also sanya, which is perhaps, if we can say, is a cause for making us think that it's permanent, that it's there all the time.
Azita actually asked a good question. How can we refer to citta vipalasa as opposed to sanya vipalasa if all cittas are pandara, clear? Why not just talk about sanya vipalasa and ditti vipalasa? Because if there's sanya vipalasa, there's citta vipalasa. But actually, the citta is only perverted by the accompanying cetasikas. And the citta itself is pandara. So
we should talk about citta in all aspects, not just on one aspect as pandara.
So one aspect is as pandara and one is as vipalasa.
Yeah.
And the vipalasa, it's vipalasa because there's perversion of the other, like
it's been perverted.
So all agusala cittas would be vipalasa. I'd like to get back to this jitta's arising. I've never thought about that. But so if there's jitta arising here, experiencing hardness, so the lopa arises there also.
You mean the base or the object?
Jitta must arise somewhere.
Yes.
the jitta which experiences hardness arises at the body base, right there. But the other jitta arises at the hatayavatu, experience the same objects.
One can say, okay, that is the base, the body sense is the base, but if there is awareness of experience through the body sense, or there's no thought of the location at such a time, it's just the citta or the rupa that is the object.
To understand citta is not easy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And to understand where does it arise, only thinking about it. So it depends on who can know the hatayavattu as exactly. object. Because while one is thinking or concerning, worry about the base of citta, there can never be the understanding of citta. Because at that moment, one is trying very hard. And that is not the characteristic of citta. But if there are conditions, who knows? One cannot know the other's accumulation and tendency at all. Who can know what type of rupa or what type of nama?
It's good to know in theory what is the vatu for the different jitas, but if people have an idea that they need to be aware of the vatu in order to understand the jita, I think it's very unhelpful.
The heart base is not the four primary rupas, see?
You just gotta have a place to arise.
Right.
Yeah, it's gotta have the vatu to arise. So one can say that it's here.
All right, now, which one?
Yes, which one, that's right, which one,
yeah. I'd like to just get back to the comment about Pakatu Upanisya Pachya when concepts are mentioned like friend or climate, because I thought that this was pretty clear from previous discussions. I'd understood from you that the friend or the climate was just a kind of shorthand for the Paramatta Dharma's experienced. And it was the experience of these that was conditioned by Pakatu Upanisya Pachya that was being referred to when it mentions concepts. But from what you said the other day before, you were saying one hears Dharma from this person, not that person, and it's different. But what is this? Because it's just hearing of sound and thinking of a person. So by Pakatu Upanisya to say, oh well, it's this person or that person, doesn't make much sense, because
so we know by way of the sutta is like that.
I see, just using conventional terms, but actually it's just shorthand for the Paramatta Dharma. Right.
Sometimes I come back to the outer base all the time. So since the citta only arising one at a time, so that means we don't see two eyes together.
Never.
So just one.
There's not two eyes. There's just visible object. We don't talk about eyes. Being two eyes is visible object that arises at the eye base. In my case, I've got one eye that's really
that
clear and one eye that's really blurred.
So it depends on what? Faint, clear?
Depends on the object.
The age of the object.
Age of the object.
Whether there is the Tanapana or not. But even have satalapana, it doesn't mean that it cannot experience the faint rupa.
Right. So the condition in that case, is it the object or is it the actual seeing?
The other factors.
Other factors. So many factors which affect whether it's clear or not. Not just the object, not just the age, but also the karma, the experiencing.
Or the rupa, or the temptation.
And on the Hadaramanas, long discussion on our list about unpleasant object. So unpleasant object, akusala vipaka, but the Hadaramanas are kusala vipaka, like vipaka cittas are. So if an unpleasant object is experienced and there's dosa, the last javana, then dosa cannot be followed by pleasant feelings. So the Tadaramana. Pleasant bhavanga. So the bhavanga has to be kusala vipaka with upeka. Is that right?
The person who was born with somanasa, and when the dosa arises, if there's no bhavanga, which is not the ordinary one, like the guest bhavanga, which just perform the function that cuttijitta cannot arise, so that after that, the normal or usual bhavanga will follow if that person was born with somanasa.
Right.
Because for Dobanasa, it cannot fall by Somanasa instantly. It needs a...
So that's the guest Bhavanga in between the two.
Yeah.
So that Bhavanga is different to the other Bhavangas, is that what you're
saying? It's an extra one.
Which just performed that function.
Transition from Dobanasa to Somanasa.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But what about the Tadaramanas after the Javana?
Tadaramana after Javana. Those are Muladitta. Then the Tadaramana is Vipaka. It but has to be unwholesome Vipaka. When the object is the object for akusala vipaka, the whole series must be akusala vipaka.
So it would be dosa and then akusala vipaka.
Santirana, akusala vipaka.
And tadaramana, and then the guest vibhanga, and then svavanga with somanasa.
But I don't know whether there is the ubeka, santirana, then there can be ordinary Pavanka,
right.
No need to have the guest Pavanka. In case that there is no Tathalampana, which is the Akusala Vipaka at Ubeka, so there must be the guest Pavanka.
So is there any point in asking, why can't you have Dovanasa followed by the Somanasa?
The nature.
The nature, okay.
That's things.
Enough. When you're referring to Santirana,
they can be Ubeka, Akusala Vipaka, or Akusala Vipaka. Because the Somanasa cannot perform the function of
the
Tathalampana.
You're talking about the Bhavangas.
If there is no Tathalampana.
But the Tadaramanas, if there's dosa, then definitely the Tadaramanas would be
Akusala Vipaka with Ubeka. So it's alright, no need to have guest Bhavanga.
Right. But if there's no Tadaramanas, I think the others concluded it would be Kusala Vipaka, but no, you're saying it must be Kusala Vipaka with
the whole series, because it's the Vipaka, same Kama.
As the visible object or whatever it is. And when we use the term Samadhiti, can it be used in context not just referring to moments of path factors, but can we use samadhiti like
Sampanya,
like in samatha development? Because I mentioned that and then someone gave a quote about how samadhiti refers to the understanding of the Four Noble Truths in a sutta, but that's just one use of it. And a question from Yina. Supernatural powers, what plane are they, jhana or karma vachara?
Apinya is kusala or akusala jhana. The apinya itself is jhana citta. But in order to have such power, the jhana condition and then the karma vachara arise by such apinya.
So
for example, when you want to fly, it needs apinya, and after that, the karma vachara performs the function.
Okay, so
seeing and touching.
Intermingled.
Apinya arises once, and then it can condition lots of happenings.
So the jhana performs the apinya, and then many karma watchers having special.
So if you're flying, you can see where you're going. Don't crash into the
You don't want to crash into a tall tree or an airplane.
For example, the divine eyes. Seeing must be karma vachara, but it's conditioned by the apinya jhana.
When we talk about kusala preceded and followed by kusala versus akusala, we know that and we read that when it's preceded and succeeded by kusala, it's much stronger in effect than when it's preceded and succeeded by akusala. Like, for example, one gives if there's strong confidence in the value beforehand and joy in it afterwards, it's stronger than if it's followed by regret, to give a simple example. But this is just the cumulative effect of many cittas that we're talking about when it's strong or weak, because the moment of kusala in the middle, maybe just the same.
More or less, we can know what is more and what is less.
More or less, so the bundle of the effect.
When kusala arises more, the result is more, and just...
Right, more kusala, more result. And when we talk about the effect, are we talking about the vipaka? Are we talking about the result of the combination of many cittas, or the result of one citta? mingled many. So a kind of combination.
Yes.
Anything that you're going to go home and say, I wish I'd?
Yes, probably, but I can't think of anything.
I know one thing you said to me on the phone was you said that often you read things and you think, oh, why didn't the Buddha put this clearly, or why didn't he say firmly about Nibbana, it is the extinction, or why? And so why don't you
Well, it was just that there seems to be a lot of discussion on various lists, some of them perhaps Mahayana lists, where they have different opinions of the self. Some people think it's annihilation, and other people think it's just annihilation, clinging in the ego, and other people seem to have different ideas of Nibbana, of what is after. And I often wonder, why didn't the Buddha, why didn't he just say, without meaning to criticise, why didn't he just say there is absolutely no self, and the whole idea is to eradicate the defilements and then there's nothing? Or why didn't he just say, because there's no permanent self to begin with? It just seems that we would have understood if it...
Why didn't he make it more black and white?
Black and white. And
didn't he make it black and white?
No, there's so much argument over, well, there is really a self standing behind the canvas.
Oh, that's just my understanding.
Well,
there are two words, atta and anatta. Black and white.
It's black and white.
That's black and white.
Yeah.
I think the Buddha made it very clear, but he nearly didn't teach. And one of the reasons he nearly didn't teach is because it was so deep and difficult. So understandably, anybody who goes into Dharma, people start with ignorance. Now, this is the worst place to start if you want to have wisdom.
Mm-hmm. And I would say they start with a strong wrong view.
Yeah. Right, right.
Great obstacle.
And often,
and those two obstacles, I mean, obviously people are going to come out with wrong understanding.
And they got all the hindrances.
And they're going to have all these views which are not correct, including ourselves as we go along.
But why is annihilationism and eternalism both wrong view? Because it seems as if what's really meant was there is annihilation of the candles.
Why?
So,
but that's not annihilationism. Annihilationism is nothing to do with there being the annihilation of the candles.
What is annihilationism?
Well, I believe it's something
after one life.
Yeah.
Funk.
That's
Okay.
Is it true to say that the wrong views of eternalism and annihilationism are...
No understanding of reality.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is it true that they are eradicated at the second stage of insight?
First stage of insight. All kinds of Diti.
At Nama Rupa Parichetanya?
You mean Sotapattimagga?
I mean the second stage of insight, understanding conditions.
Permanently, completely, absolutely at the Sotapattimagga.
But at the stage of understanding conditions, then it's...
Conditioned right, understanding better and better. Yeah.
Christina, if I could just elaborate on that comment. Annihilationism is to do with nothing after this
one life,
but not assigning any cause to that, whereas Parinibbana is to do with cause and effect.
Uccheda Ditti is Ditti which does not understand anything about reality. So it's only thinking, estimating about whatever appears that they don't really understand.
You've got to expect there's a lot of people with wrong understanding, giving wrong thoughts about things. And that's why there has to be question, doubt. Even when Ajahn says things, you have to question what she's saying, just like you question the Tripitaka, until you prove things are real. And that's why you get down to the reality of hardness and seeing. Because those things can be proven as real. The others are just concepts, ideas about things. That,
speculation.
Yeah, speculation. But eventually, when you understand the moment better and better, those things become clearer, those speculations.
Okay. How can we be sure that Parinibbana is not annihilationism? Nobody knows what it is.
But it's not. Uccheda Ditti.
What is that?
The belief that after death there is nothing.
Yeah, annihilationism.
Mm-hmm. That is Uccheda Ditti in Pali.
Tanissaro here says, There are two mistaken inferences that are particularly relevant here. This is to the Alagar-Dupama Sutta, the water snake simile. The two mistaken inferences are particularly relevant here. The first concerns the range of the not-self teaching. The second mistaken inference is that given the thoroughness with which the Buddha teaches not-self, one should draw the inference that there is no self. So he said that's a mistaken inference.